Well, glory to God. Somebody say it. I am the church.
I am the church.
I am the church. You are the church of the living God. Isn't that something? That all the great, the creator of the universe, I mean, the creator of everything, one that you see with your visual, with your eyes, but even the things unseen. Created by this being, this God. And then he sends his Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of you, this earthen vessel, this clay jar. Isn't that something? Sometimes we just gotta be still, know that he is God, and meditate and ponder that. That the greatest being, the great I am, the creator of everything, dwells inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit. That'll make you stand up and take stock, won't it? That'll make you think a little bit. Amen? So, with that in mind, we are going to get right into what I believe what I believe the Lord would have for you today. And like I said in the beginning, we all have needs, right? We all are going through stuff. Things are happening to us in our daily lives. And we all come Sunday, we tell you to come expecting, right? Come with great expectation. Come expecting. But that's not in it's not in a selfish manner that you come expecting. But if you will focus in on Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One and His anointing, get it off yourself, get it off your need for a minute, focus in on Jesus, I believe He'll meet your need, but give your attention to Him. Amen? In fact, let me just read this part of this prayer that Wanda has shared with us from Lynn Hammond. I've got it here in my Bible. And let me just... This is not part of what I wanted to talk about today, but Holy Spirit just quickened me to share this. Just the first part of this prayer, and some of you may have it, by Lynn Hammond. It says, our desire follows our attention. If we give our attention primarily to natural things, then our spiritual hunger will begin to dwindle. But if we'll give more attention to God by attending to Him in prayer and in the Word, our hunger for Him will increase. And that's what we need to be doing, right? Giving our attention more to God in prayer and in Word, and taking the attention away from our natural world around us, which is so easily distracts us and grabs our attention. You think about it. I mean, your jobs, what's going on around the workplace, your family life, local happenings, hobbies, all these things, wonderful things, but they can distract us from our attention to God. And I'm telling you, if you will give your attention to Him, if you will focus in on Jesus, if you will make Him the center of your life, all those other things will work themselves out. They will. They will. Amen? Well, somebody needed that today. Say it again. I am the church. You are the church. Well, last week we talked about what? The law of asking. Somebody whispered it because they weren't quite sure. They just whispered it under their breath. The law of asking. We were talking about asking, right? Asking God for things. And then I'm just going to recap real quick. I gave you the definition of law. It's the system of rules that a particular country or community recognizes as regulating the actions of its members and may enforce by the imposition of penalties. And we talked about, you know, when you hear the word law, I believe a lot of us equate that to penalties, right? When a law is broken, there's a penalty involved, right? If you break a physical law, you get penalized. I use the example of speeding, right? If you're going down a road, you're doing 20 miles over the speed limit, You see them blue lights in your rearview mirror, you're being pulled over, you're going to get penalized for breaking the speed limit law, right? But then I said the opposite's kind of in the spiritual, in the realm of the spirit. Opposite may not be the right word. It's reciprocal maybe, but anyways, when you obey a spiritual law, you get rewarded. You don't get rewarded for obeying natural law. The cop's not coming up to you saying, "Hey, you did a great job. You were doing 55 in that 55 mile an hour speed limit zone. So I'm rewarding you with this gift card to your favorite restaurant." That doesn't happen, right? That doesn't happen. But in the realm of the spirit, it does. When you obey a spiritual law, you get rewarded. Physical, you're not rewarded. Spiritual, you are rewarded for asking God. We're talking about the law of asking. And this is just a recap because we're going to get into a couple other things. But I saw this quote by John Wesley. And he said this. Anybody know who? Everybody at least heard the name John Wesley? He founded, him and his brother, and founded Methodism. Methodists. You know, grew up in a Methodist church, so I was familiar with the name. Those who didn't may not be familiar with the name. John Wesley said this, but a great evangelist. Great evangelist. Won countless to the Lord. He said this: God can do nothing for mankind unless someone asks him. Now that's a bold statement. God can do nothing for mankind unless someone asks him. So we talked about that last week. I shared several scriptures about asking, and then I gave 4 points. Anybody remember what those 4 points are? If nobody can remember them, I'm going to stop giving bullet points. They were asking, no doubt, obeying, and the will of God, right? We shared those 4 points. You ask, you cannot doubt, you must obey when you hear, and it must be according to His will. Well, today I want to kind of focus in on that second point. No doubt. There can be no doubt. When we ask, and all 4 of those play into it, okay? But when we ask, there can be no doubt. No wavering. We must ask in faith, and we're going to talk about that today. If you have your Bibles, turn them to James 1. And we're going to look in chapter 5 for our foundational scripture today. James is towards the back of the book, not quite to Revelation. The Revelation. It's not Revelations. The Revelation, one revelation of Jesus. But it's before that. We're not going to Revelation. We're going to James. What did I say? Chapter 5? I meant chapter 1, verse 5. And let me read this out of the Amplified down to verse 8. James chapter 1, verse 5 says this. Is this the version? Yes. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given him. Listen to this, verse 6. Only it must be in faith that he asks, with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers or hesitates or doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable, and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. A man of two minds, hesitating, is unstable, unreliable, and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, or decides. So when we ask something of the Lord, I mean, it has to be according to His will. When we ask something of the Lord, how do we know His will? Well, we can find it right here. When we ask something of the Lord, there can be no hesitation, no doubt. But it must be in faith that we ask. And He will answer. And we all know, what are His answers? Always, yes and amen. So be it. I like what the Message says in verse 8 about being, let me just read it in the Amplified again, for being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute. He is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. The Message reads this way. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. Keeping all your options open. That reminds me of a time when I went to visit a friend of mine. He had been dating this girl for about 10 years. I said, man, when are you going to get married? Y'all been dating 10 years. He said, well, what if something better comes along? He said, I'm just keeping my options open. And he said that exact phrase, and that's what brought it back to my memory. I'm just keeping my options open. I said, dude, it's been 10 years. Ain't nothing better coming along. She's the one. Y'all better go on and get married. Well, needless to say, they never got married. I wonder why, right, Gene? The man had committal issues. But he was keeping his options open, and that's how a double-minded man is. He won't commit. He won't commit. Let me say that again. He or she won't commit to something they've heard from God, to something they've asked for even maybe. They will not commit. They keep their mind open to other avenues. That's not faith. That is not faith. When you ask according to the will of God and you believe in faith, you are determined, determined that that will come to pass. Amen? Determined. Fierce determination. So I ask you today, what are you believing for but have allowed seeds of doubt to come in? What have you had two minds about? What have you been uncertain about that you've asked the Lord for, that He's shown you, revealed to you? What is it? Just think about that a minute. What is it? What is it you've asked God for, but you've allowed doubt to come in and steal that from you? Is it a promotion at work? Is it a new business idea? Is it a ministry that God's calling you to? And those seeds of doubt saying, oh, I'm not smart enough to get that promotion. I don't have enough knowledge or experience to start this business. Or, you know, I'm not called to be in ministry like that, God. What seeds of doubt have been sown in there to steal that from you? Well, I'm here to tell you to stop vacillating. Stop. Stop. Make a decision to believe and have faith with a tenacity that you will not let go of it. You will not let go of it. When God tells you something and you know it's God, don't let go of it. When you ask for something according to God's will, don't let go of it. No matter what circumstances come up against you, no matter who tells you you can't do it, if God told you you can, you can. You can. Amen? But you got to hold on to it. Hold on to it with tenacity. Let me give you an example of what tenacity, holding on with tenacity is. Just give you a visual of what holding on and applying it in this way of faith. If anybody know what greatest, what animal in the animal kingdom has the greatest bite force? Just throw out some guesses. Well, y'all are too good. Of course it's the crocodile is the number one. I was hoping you'd say like dog or something that ain't even on the list. And then I could go through my whole list. And who said crocodile? Kenny. Ah, see? Spoiling all my fun up here is what you're doing. I'm going to roll up my sleeves now. Get down in here. Yes, the crocodile. Guess how much? It is 3,700 to 5,000 PSI. For those of you who never filled up your tire on your car, PSI is pounds per square inch. 3,700 to 5,000 pounds per square inch a crocodile bites down on something with. Now, to give you comparison, something to contrast with, when you chew into that delicious medium-cooked steak right off your grill, you bite down into that with about 150 pounds per square inch. But a crocodile is 3,700 to 5,000 pounds per square inch that it bites down into some. That's about 33 times more than you can bite into that steak. 33 times. And not only do they bite down, but they hold on. I lived in Florida for 5 years. My wife was born and raised there. Alligators everywhere, right? Anybody from Florida, been to Florida, seen alligators? Are there alligators in Florida? You know what I'm talking about? They do something. Crocodiles do the same thing. When they bite and hold on to something, then they go into what's called a death roll. Boom, they just spin around. Man, if they got a hold of another alligator's leg, that leg's coming off. Hopefully they ain't got your leg. That leg's coming off in the death roll. But what they do is they bite down on it with such tenacity, such force, and they hold on to it with such tenacity and such force that it just tears apart whatever they're biting down into. That's the tenacity that our faith has to have. When we hear something from God, when we ask something of Him according to His will, we got to bite down on that thing and not let go, even if we got to go into a death roll to hold on to it. It's got to be that kind of tenacity, that kind of faith that rises up inside of you that says, no, no, I'm doing this. I'm believing this. I'm believing for my loved one to come back to the Lord. I'm believing for that individual to be healed. I'm believing for God's church, the church of Jesus Christ, to grow, to take its rightful place in this earth, to be the light of the world, to show all repentance. God may have given you a vision for something, and you've laid it on a shelf. You've stuck it in a closet. You've brushed it under a chair. Today is your day to grab hold of that vision with such tenacity and not let go. Believe it in faith. We need that 5,000 PSI faith, right? That crocodile-like faith that holds on to something and doesn't let go. Just for fun, y'all want to hear the top 10 list of bite force? I mean, this is pretty interesting. This is totally off topic, but I saw this and I wanted to write it down. All right, somebody throw some names of animals out there you think might have a larger bite force. Lion, yep, lion's number 10, 650. Shark didn't even make the top 10. You believe that? Jaws, come on, y'all seen that movie Jaws? That thing can bite. It didn't even make top 10. Hyenas in there, yes, let's just run down the list. Bear, number 9, 975. Snapping turtle, 1,000. That's number 7. No, is that right? 1098. Tiger, 1,050. Hyena, 1,100. Gorilla, 1,300 pounds per square inch. Jaguar, 1,350. Hippopotamus, You wouldn't think those lovely little round creatures would harm anybody. They're one of the most dangerous animals in Africa. 1,825 pounds per square inch. The American gator. Woo! Say, go Gators. Don't you? I'm not a Gators fan. 2,125 pounds per square inch. And the number one, obviously, the crocodile. 3,700 to some, they say 5,000 PSI bite force. But we're in church, so let's talk about the Bible. Biblical examples of bite forces. No, about holding on to the things of God. You know, as Jacob wrestled with God, you can find it in Genesis 32. And he said, this is what Jacob said. He said, I am not letting go until you bless me. I am not letting go until you bless. That is crocodile-like faith, bite force, holding on. He's wrestling with God. In fact, I think God was so impressed he changed his name at that point. He changed his name. What did he call him? Israel. You know what Jacob means? The supplanter. Because he supplanted his older brother. But God changed his name that day to Israel. It means God wrestler. Okay, it doesn't mean it means contending with God is what the actual, but I like God wrestler better, you know? I mean, I used to wrestle, I like God wrestler. Or if you like that W, God wrestler. He was a God wrestler that day. But he grabbed onto God and wasn't let go until he said, bless me. And guess what happened? God blessed him. God blessed him. God blessed him. I would rather go to the grave believing God in faith than not. And I don't mean, you know, that sounds contradictory. Well, going to the grave, there's no faith in that. Where's the faith in it? Well, it's appointed for every man to die once. Some get there sooner than they should. But I would rather go to the grave believing God in faith than not, than doubting or letting unbelief in or having a lack of faith. In fact, I used to ask my kids when they'd tell me something that I knew wasn't quite correct. I'd say, you sure about that? Yes, absolutely. Are you 100% sure? Yes, 100% sure. Well, if your life required it, are you still sure? Well, but I would. I would rather go to the grave believing in faith than doubting or letting unbelief in. We're talking about the law of asking, how we ask, that there can be no doubt, no wavering. Some people have, we were talking about a couple stories this morning in prayer growth class. Healings, asking for healings. You know, in one instance, the healing didn't come. In another, it did. And you know, some people question, well, is it really your will to heal, Lord? Well, that's not in faith. That's not being in faith. You're wavering. If you're asking that question, you are leaving your mind open. You're not asking in faith. Of course it's His will. Of course it's His will to heal. I mean, that's what Jesus, one of the biggest part of His ministry. It even says that He healed them all. He healed them all. He healed them all. He healed them all. The church has been deceived for too long. We've let our conscience be seared, if you will, by whatever. Distractions, humanity, intellect. Name it whatever you want. But we believe the Word and what the Word says. Jesus called it a spirit of infirmity. He called it a spirit of infirmity. That word infirmity just means physical or mental weakness. A spirit of physical or mental weakness. But he healed them all. Not a single sickness in the earth. There isn't a single sickness in the earth that can't be healed. In the earth that can't be healed. Not a single one. Proverbs 18:14 says what? The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. The strong spirit of a man. Jesus called a spirit of infirmity, physical or mental weakness. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. If your spirit is strong, sickness has no place. How do we keep our spirit strong? We fellowship with God through prayer, through His Word. Through His Word. It's all right here. It's all right here. You know, I can sit up here and preach till I'm blue in the face. And it may not increase your faith, but this will increase your faith. When you read the Word of God. When you fellowship with God in prayer. And what is that? Just talking to Him. Just talking to Him. That'll increase your faith. Oh, but Sister Susie has. Now listen. Pneumon ultra microscopic silicovolcanoconiosis. Well, with a name like that, I'd be intimidated too. That's the longest word in the English language. The longest word in the English language. You know what it means? You know, Reggie? What is it? Lung disease, yes. That's right. Longest word. That's intimidating, isn't it? And it's just lung disease. Lung disease. I'd rather they just call it lung disease. I can't even pronounce it. I must have gotten pretty close because Reggie recognizes. But listen to this. Modern medicine thinks if they can classify it, they can cure it. Do you know there's 29 different strains of the flu? 29 different strains. That's just flu A. There's A, B, C, and D. I don't know how many the others have. 29 different strains. Modern science is trying to apply physical remedies to spiritual issues with limited results. So is it the treatment or the patient's belief in the treatment that's making them whole? Again, we're talking about not doubting. We're talking about having faith, right? Anybody ever heard of the placebo effect? Going back to your science class, science 101, placebo effect. It's a Latin word. You know what it means? I shall please. I shall please. Placebo effect. Those of you that don't know, it's so if you've got a pain or a condition, they give you a sugar pill or just something that doesn't have anything in it, and they tell you that it is strong medicine, and you recover and you get better. That's called the placebo effect. It's powerful medicine. You will get better and you get well, but there's no medicine in it. I love it. I love it when science catches up with God. Listen to this. This is right off of the website of the Harvard Medical School in their program in placebo studies. I'm getting to something here. Placebo studies. This is a quote. I quote, "For many years, the placebo effect was considered to be no more than a nuisance variable that needed to be controlled in clinical trials. Only recently have researchers redefined it as the key to understanding the healing that arises from medical ritual, the context of treatment, the patient-provider relationship, and the power of imagination, trust, and hope." Now, what does that sound like to you? Imagination, that sounds a lot like faith to me. Faith, we know from Hebrews, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Sounds like imagined, right? Unseen. Imagination is definitely a powerful thing. And the science community is getting hold of this. We know that the imagination is powerful. Remember the story of Tower of Babel? Everybody knows that, right? God looked down and they're building this tower, and he said they've imagined in their mind they can do it. They will be able to do it. So he had to confuse their languages so they couldn't communicate, so they couldn't continue to build the tower up to God. He said, if they imagine it, they can do it. That's how powerful your imagination is. That's how powerful faith is. I continue to quote off of this website from Harvard Medical School. This isn't some, you know, fly-by-night place. It says, although our biomedical healthcare system often considers these humanistic dimensions of care as secondary to the administration of pharmaceuticals and procedures, the emerging field of placebo studies is producing scientific evidence that these more intangible elements, faith, that was my word, they didn't use that word, of medicine may fundamentally contribute to the improvement of patient outcomes. Oh, really? I mean, all they had to do was read the book. And they could find out all about that. Amen? Just read the book. In fact, Forbes magazine said about this particular study, instead of ignoring the placebo effect, faith, my word, doctors should try to enhance it. Doctors should try to enhance it. Now, I am not knocking doctors. I am not knocking science. I think they need to work together with faith to produce the best outcome. Amen? I'm just saying we need to apply that crocodile faith in any situation. In any situation you're facing. Any situation you ask of God, right? No doubt, no wavering in faith. If he tells you something, you obey. And then when you ask, it has to be according to his will. But when you do, you latch on to it with that crocodile faith. And you have the mindset of Jacob that you're not letting go of that until he blesses you. Not letting go. Crocodile-like faith. The word says you're healed. The word says that you're the head and not the tail. Some of y'all been walking around life thinking you're the tail. You're at the bottom of the barrel. No, I'm here to tell you, you're the head. You are above and not beneath. You are more than a conqueror. Greater is the one that lives in you than lives in the world. All that stuff that's coming down on you, the pressures of this world, you have one greater inside of you. So all that pressure coming down on you, you have a force greater inside of you to sustain you under all that pressure. And if you'll apply faith, it'll start to push back on that pressure. And before you know it, that faith will be all-encompassing in that circumstance, that situation, that pressure. It'll be gone. It'll be gone. Amen? You can have peace. You can have joy. We talked a lot about joy. You can have joy in the middle of the greatest trial that you've ever been in. You can still have joy. You can still have peace in that trial. You can still have it. Latch on to it with faith and believe. You can have that promotion. You can have that new job. You can walk out that ministry that he's sown in your heart to do. These things are all attainable through faith. That's why we like to sow faith here at Christian Growth Center. So you can grow up in right standing with God. You can know who you are, what your promises are as a born-again believer. And you can stand in them, firm, settled, unwavering, unmoving, with tenacity, with 5,000 pounds per square inch of bite force. Amen? So just to wrap this up and summarize, and I know I'm finishing up a little bit early, but we're going to have a short meeting afterwards, and then I've got to get on down the road to Charlottesville for student orientation. But we're doing that this couple days here. But anyways, to summarize, in order to receive, you must ask, right? You must ask. And the word says it's the Father's good pleasure to give it to you, right? I think we shared that last week, that scripture where, you know, what son asks of his father for a fish and the father gives him a stone? Or what good son asks his father of a piece of bread and he hands him a serpent? And I may be getting those mixed up, but you get the picture, right? No father's going to do that. I wouldn't do that to my children. God, if I'm not going to do it to my children, my natural children, God, our spiritual father, is certainly not going to do it to us. So when we ask according to His will, and we believe in faith that we receive it, you will receive it. What are you asking for? You know, the word says that the reason you don't receive sometimes is because you ask amiss. For selfish reasons. You know, there's a lot to this. It's not just four bullet points and you win. I mean, there's a lot to it. You got to dive into it. You got to meditate on these things. But when you ask, and when you have faith, crocodile-like faith, you will receive. You will receive. And there's two other things that we talked about, obeying and asking according to the will of God, and we're going to talk more about that, I believe, the next time that I'm up here. But if you take one thing away from here today, if you just remember the word crocodile and you apply it to your faith, I think you will be successful. Hold on. Don't let go. In fact, he says, ask and keep on asking. But don't let go. Don't waver. Don't doubt. No matter what the circumstance looks like, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the experts tell you, hold on. Don't let go. And just like Jacob, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. Amen? Father, we believe your word has gone forth today. And I believe your word has penetrated the heart of man. And I believe that your Holy Spirit will seal it to our spirit and quicken us when we need that word. Quicken us. Bring us back to remembrance of what's been sown in our heart today and every day that we come to you, Lord, in prayer and fellowship, in your word as we read it or hear it. And Father, that our faith is ever increasing. Ever increasing. And like we heard today, we don't rely on what we heard a year ago, a month ago, a day ago even. We are continually putting in the word, continually fellowshipping with God, continually, so that our faith is increased, our understanding of righteousness increases, and so that we can have boldness to go out and share the gospel, share the good news with the lost and dying world. This is, you know, God has called you to a ministry, every single one of you. And that is the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling a lost and dying world to God the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility. And we cannot grow slack in that responsibility. But we must be communicating the gospel in all that we do, all that we say, in our actions. And sometimes that's just a smile. Just a smile. Just a kind word. The word God, the word Jesus, the word Bible, the word Scripture may never even come out of your mouth in that meeting. But they'll know that God was there because you were there. So Father, I thank you. I thank you that everyone under the sound of my voice is being put into place, playing their part, doing what you've told them to do, being obedient. And Lord, if they don't know, your word says to ask. Ask for wisdom in that area, and you'll give it to them liberally, unbegrudgingly. You'll give it to them. So thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son Jesus that shed his blood, that died on the cross. But thank God he's not still in the grave. He is alive. He is a risen Savior, seated at the right hand of the Father, whom we can go to, and he prays and intercedes on our behalf to the Father. And not only that, he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. And when we know not how we ought to pray, we can pray in the Holy Spirit. And it's like that perfect prayer going up before the Father. So Lord, I thank you, and I put you in remembrance of your word. According to Scripture, you say, put me in remembrance. I put you in remembrance of your word. That we are the healed. We are more than conquerors. We are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And we understand that greater is the one that lives inside of us than the one that lives in this earth, the prince of the air. We have the greater one inside of us. And the victory is ours. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen?